So now I'd like to invite Laura O'Connell Rapira to come up and talk. And Laura is the campaigns officer, campaigns person for Action Station.
Kia ora tātou. Thank you very much for having me, firstly, and thank you for your very rousing and brilliant presentation, Morgan. Cool. So I apologise if you have seen me present before, because I pretty much always start with these fish. Kia ora, my name is Laura. I descend from Te Atiawa in Ngāpuhi. I come from Taranaki originally via Waitakere City and now live in Brooklyn and Wellington. I always start with this slide because I think that the kind of state of play in the world can be summed up in this image right here, and that big fish is essentially the world's problems, and that could be climate change or economic inequality or kind of the erosion of indigenous rights. And it can often feel like that big fish is winning because we're kind of all scattered off in different directions. And I think that happens for a lot of different reasons, but two that I really think it boils down to is a lack of connection and a lack of collaboration. And what I mean by that is that the average New Zealander will see anything between 200 and 2,000 advertisements per day, and a lot of that is for stuff that delivers very little real environmental or social impact in our world. And so that makes it very, very difficult for people to be able to connect with the things that do, of course, matter. And then there's kind of a lack of collaboration. So for the last 5, maybe 7 years, actually, I've been working in the kind of charity NGO space. And charities and NGOs do an excellent job, but we are competitive, and we are competing with one another for people's attention, people's donations. And to give you a kind of really stark example of that, I was at an Oxfam talk last week. In it, they were talking about how in Vanuatu, there are 26 different organisations who are working on clean water projects. None of them are working together, and none of them are working with the government. And so all of those organisations have something like 290 wells, and they're kind of there's no coordinated central strategy as to how they can do this. And part of the problem is the way that non-governmental organisations are positioned to begin with. We are called non-governmental organisations rather than for-purpose organisations or whatever that might be, or for-collaboration organisations perhaps. It's difficult for us to connect to the things that matter, and there is not a lot of collaboration in the space for people who are working on the things that matter, and that's difficult. The other major problem that we see is that there is a problem with the way that we are telling our stories. And so I'll give you an example using the US election. So Trump and Bernie Sanders told a version of a story that explained why people's life is getting harder in America. And Trump's version of the story is, you've been promised the American dream all of your life, and you are not able to reach it, and the reason you're not able to reach it is because the Muslims are stealing our way of life, the Mexicans are coming over the border, and the Chinese are taking all of our jobs. Bernie Sanders told that same story. He said, you want the American dream, you've been sold it all your life, and the reason you can't get it is because a handful of billionaires have far too much power, and that power is concentrated, and that makes it impossible for everyday working Americans to kind of lift themselves out and get those same opportunities. The way that they explain those problems point people to specific policy interventions or to vote for a certain person, and it's because of the way that they explain those stories. And I think one of the big problems, to kind of bring it into New Zealand as an example, and this is something we've been thinking about a lot recently, is the way that we describe poverty in New Zealand as an example. So in New Zealand, we talk about child poverty, and I agree that talking about child poverty has done a really good job of putting the issue of poverty and economic inequality in New Zealand on the agenda. But the problem is, when we talk about child poverty, the solutions that people support are give the kids breakfast in schools, give the kids 50 cents a day through KidsCan. It's not lift benefit levels and give workers a living wage so that families can feed their own kids, right? So when we talk about child poverty, it points people to support solutions that I would argue exacerbate the problem even further. And so that brings me to what I do now, which is at Action Station. Hands up if you have actually heard of Action Station before. Awesome, that's great. So Action Station, the reason that we launched it is we recognised that the kind of space was, the progressive movement was becoming more and more fragmented, and we wanted to be able to kind of bring people together for shared collaborations, shared campaigning, shared values. And so we do that in three different ways. We have three different types of campaigns. One, petitions and campaigns that members of our community start. So that's just an ordinary citizen sees something that they're passionate about, they start an online petition. If it gets enough growth, we support them to turn that into a kind of flourishing campaign. So that's one sort of way that we do things. The other way that we do things is we as staff, we organise campaigns where we work with our community of more than 150,000 people now to take strategic coordinated action on the things that we care about. And then the third type of campaign we run is in partnership with organisations. And so 90% of our campaigns at the moment are actually run in partnership, and that's either with an academic group, another NGO, a community group who has lived experience of the issue that we're trying to work on. And so basically our work summed up in emojis here, because I am a millennial, is that we work with lots of awesome people using the power of the internet, digital tools, modern technologies to combine our tools, our money, our ideas, our time, our energy, our creativity, our voice to create a fairer, more flourishing and beautiful world. So that's kind of Action Station in an emoji slide. And I'm going to unpack a little bit what our DNA is and kind of the way that we do our work so that people can get a better understanding of what it is that we do. So the first thing is that we are progressive. So we aren't values neutral. There is organisations out there like change.org, for instance, where you can start petitions online and anyone can start a petition there. We aren't like that. We are very focused on five different categories, and they are economic fairness, transparent democracy, a thriving, healthy environment, human rights and global peace, and Indigenous rights underpinning all of those. Action Station is also, first and foremost, a member-driven, people-powered organisation. So in the past, I've been working for Greenpeace and WWF and Oxfam, and I really love the work that they do, but the model of change that they use is give us $30 a month while we go off and save the world. And that is not what we do at Action Station. What we do at Action Station is we email a segment of our list every Friday. We say things, we ask people to rank the issues that they care about. We ask them how they can give, how they can get involved. And we try and give them different opportunities to contribute in different ways. So that might be making a submission to a select committee, that might be sending an email to a decision maker, that might be turning up to a rally, it might be hosting a dinner with your friends. We try and give people as many different ways to get involved as possible. The essential service that we are offering to people through that is turning people's outrage and hope for a better world, outrage at the current world we have and hope for something better, into a way that they can take strategic action to hopefully influence outcomes. We are also multi-issue, so unlike a lot of other organisations who are single-issued, who are really good at being single-issue, and I don't mean to say we don't need single-issue organisations, because we absolutely need kind of experts that stay in the trenches and work for like 10 years on something to progress something. But we are multi-issue because humans are essentially multi-issue, and we respond to things like opportunities and crises. And so we strongly believe that by being multi-issue, we can offer something different to the kind of community that are out there. So if you are an organisation that has been working on climate change for the last 5 years and you've only been able to reach the people who are engaged in the issue of climate change, we can introduce people who came to us through workers' rights issues, for example, and say, hey, you care about justice, maybe you also care about this. We at Action Station jokingly call this the Netflix recommendation model. So when we're introducing people to something different, it's like, hey, you care about justice, you probably care about this too. We use digital tools, but I think it's really important to point out that we are not an online organisation. Tech is just a tool, and we use it, I mean, in our ideal world, it should be totally invisible to what it is that we're doing. It's just a means to an end, and it's the tool that we use because lots of people are using it as well. We are grassroots, which means, of course, that we are of, by, and for the people, and we also operate on what is called an outsider power theory of change. And that's basically, we don't try and build really strong relationships with a particular MP and kind of compromise and try and keep them happy so they'll keep the door open to us so we can lobby them. We focus on building political power and bringing the people on board so that no matter which MP is in power, we can say, you need to listen because all of these voters that put you there want this thing. So that's very much our focus. We are collaborative, as I've already mentioned. 90% of our campaigns are a collaboration. And we also apply what's called a low floor and high ceiling approach to our work. So there is a lot of skepticism, I think, about online petitions. But for us, it's really just the gateway drug. It's the way that we find 10,000 people who care about an issue so that we can follow them up and be like, yo, we all want no one in poverty, like no New Zealander to live in poverty. What do we do next? And online petitions are the way that we bring people in there. But our job as Action Station staff is to say, okay, we've signed this petition. What do we do next? And that's always what we're looking for, is an opportunity to take people beyond that first signing of the petition. We are full spectrum, which is what I already spoke about, which is asking people for more than just money. It's asking for their time and their ideas and their energy. We are fiercely independent as well, and this is actually something that I think we do offer, where we do offer value to the movement. I won't mention the organisation, but we have in the past been given the... So, you know, when organisations and NGOs make a submission to select committee, we were given the copy of a submission from an organisation who was working on quite a difficult issue that they would have given to government had they not had government funding, if that makes sense. So, in the NGO space, there are a lot of organisations who are government-funded, and that makes it very difficult for them to speak out. It's like, you're allowed to speak out a little, but not too much. Don't rock the boat too much, because you'll lose your funding. So they sent us the copy of the submission that they would have sent, and we shared that with our members and asked our members to make submissions on that select committee. And the reason that we're able to do that is because we don't take funding from government or major corporations or lottery grants, because that's part of the problem. We are also nimble, and I think this is one of the strongest points of Action Station. We chase the energy, and our work is all about kind of giving people an opportunity to take action. We're high information, basically when there's media saturation. When everyone is talking about a thing, we launch something then and there, because that is the time to capitalise on it. Because with the 24/7 news and media cycle these days, it's very difficult to keep people engaged and keeping on beyond that kind of initial outrage that people have at the headline. So we very much believe in major change moments and capitalising on those opportunities to make change. The reason I'm talking so much about the kind of theory of change and the way that Action Station operates in something about human flourishing is just to give you a sense of how much thought we have put into how we create a world where that is fair and flourishing. And I also want to let you know that we do put a lot of thought into the gaps that exist in our model and the work that we do. So because we are very much driven by media moments, that also means that we risk having quick wins. That's, you know, saving the tree in Titirangi, saving the Kauri tree in Titirangi, but losing the overall war, which is there's still massive amounts of deforestation happening and our rivers are becoming more and more polluted every single day. And so that's where partnering with single-issue organisations who do stay in the trenches for years at a time is really important to us. And once we've activated those people at those key moments, as much as possible, we try and push them in the direction of the people who will continue doing that kind of long-term work. Fostering a culture of collectivism, so this is often a criticism of online activism. The reason I share this idea of the low floor, high ceiling is that I think it's really important for the narrative to shift away from online petitions are not as worthy somehow as offline activism, because a lot of the people in our community are people who are older or they're people who have different disabilities, and actually online activism is the best way that they can get involved. And the other thing is that why not use the tools that are available to us to reach people at a scale never imagined before? Why not? I absolutely am a big fan of collectivism. A reliance on outrage and media cycles can feed a sense of hopelessness and overwhelm, and I'm absolutely acutely aware of that. And one of the things that we're trying to do more and more at Action Station is tell more of the stories of hope and change, and how when we come together at those key moments, it can actually push that more fair, flourishing world one inch at a time towards that. It's also hard, obviously, to become financially sustainable when you are independent and don't take money from all of those different organisations. So if you don't already give money to Action Station, please do. And so the one other part about Action Station is that I don't think a lot of people realise, because we don't tell this story very much, is that we do belong to an international network of organisations who use the same model as us. And this network was established in 2013. This is a little bit out of date because we now have 21 groups all around the world, in India, in South Africa, in Sweden, in Canada, Australia, Germany, Ireland. The list goes on and on and on. And essentially, combined, we represent worldwide one in every 15 voters, which is an enormous amount of power. But what is different is that, unlike, say, Greenpeace, where you have 30 different Greenpeaces all around the world who are working towards a shared agenda, our agenda is driven by our members in our country. And so rather than working together on a shared agenda, we share things like resources and technology and tools. So as a tangible example for you, when we were running our Zero Hours campaign, which was about 2.5 years ago, I think it was, our brothers and sisters in the UK had already run a Zero Hours campaign to great success. And we basically just lifted what they did and copy and pasted it and dropped it into New Zealand. And so that kind of sharing of knowledge and resources is a really great way to build that kind of more fair and flourishing future we all want. And I'll just really quickly go over some of the examples of how this model of change can create the world that we are hoping for. So in 2006, and I have to read this, I apologize, because I don't quite know it off by heart yet, but I was particularly struck by it. In 2006, in an effort to hold onto power, the Howard government in Australia changed the electoral laws so that once an election was announced, people only had a couple of days to get enrolled to vote, otherwise they wouldn't be able to get on the roll. And this was a deliberate way to try and stay in power because they were doing a lot of things that were disenfranchising Indigenous Australians and also young people. And those are the groups that tend to not be able to enroll at a post office or via fax at that time at the drop of a hat. And so GetUp launched a petition, they sent submissions, they asked their members to make calls, met with MPs, and it didn't have any success. So in 2010, they decided to survey their 70,000 members at the time to ask whether or not they should take the case to the High Court. They explained the enormous financial risk that this would entail, taking the government to the High Court, and said that if they lost, it would have to be paid by those members, and that would be to the tune of $500,000. And so they were totally honest with these 70,000 people about that, and 97% of those people said, yes, go for it, let's do it. And that really illustrates to me that I think often we are kind of thinking that we need to ask people to do the small stuff and then get them to do the bigger stuff. And that's certainly been some of the thinking at Action Station. But I think actually sometimes people are just waiting to be asked to do big stuff. And we have a real yearning for that kind of transformational, revolutionary type of change. And sometimes it's our ask that's getting in the way of making that happen. Needless to say, GetUp took the case to the High Court and won. And because of that, an extra 100,000 people can now enroll today, which is really, really brilliant. And most of those people are Indigenous Australians and young people. What also happened, though, is GetUp built an online tool that enabled people to do enrolments online, because in 2006 or 2007, the government didn't actually have that. So they built this tool, and it got such enormous pickup that they more or less had, that the government had to change the law to enable online enrolments because of that. And that tool, to this day, has seen more than 500,000 Australians enrol because of it. And so that was a really, really brilliant campaign, and it started with an online petition. So I thought that was a good example. I'll highlight this one because I think it's really important and poignant. This is zooming over to Ireland. When the tragic image of Aylin Curdy went viral, that's the little toddler who was on the beach in Turkey, the world went into shock. And the Irish government at that time, much like the government in New Zealand, refused to increase the annual refugee quota despite repeated calls from the people to do so. So our sister organisation in Ireland, they're called Uplift, they set up a tool to enable people to pledge a bed to a refugee. And 14,000 people pledged a bed within 3 days, which basically showed that the Irish people were much more compassionate than their government at that time. Those 14,000 people then went on to crowdfund a full-page ad in the national newspaper, which helped change the tone of the national debate. Because what they did with that newspaper ad is they focused on Irish people seeking refuge in their own history and really tapped into a story of exactly what people in Ireland have been through. They held vigils on the Irish coastlines to remember people who had passed away in the famine, and as a result of that flurry of activity, and this was about a two-month-long campaign, the government agreed to increase the annual refugee quota from 600 to 4,000 per year, and that came into legislation at the beginning of this year. And so that was another example of how being nimble and being ready to act at the drop of a button when high media scrutiny is there can change the direction of something that would have otherwise gone in a not very nice direction. And so bringing that into New Zealand, I'll just really quickly touch on just one of the examples of how Action Station has successfully made a difference in New Zealand. So when the Ashburton District Council were wanting to sell off the rights to sell 40,000 litres of water to a bottled water company, we launched a petition, and remarkably, 40,000 people signed that petition within the space of a couple of days, and that's more than the population of Ashburton, so it was something that really got people's attention. And then what we did is we crowdfunded this lovely, if you can't see it, it's a truck with a billboard on it that says, Ashburton District Councillors, 40,000 Kiwis say no to your sellout of our water. Remember that come election time. And we drove that truck around Ashburton for like half a day on the day that they were having their council meeting to decide this. So naturally everyone in Ashburton saw that because Ashburton's not super big. And we invited all of the media to come down. Every single media outlet came to that, which I really commend them for coming along and helping apply that pressure. And because of that, the Ashburton District Council cancelled that sale and kept it in the Commons, which was really, really great. And again, that campaign was only about a month long. But all of that is just small incremental changes towards the kind of more fair and flourishing world that we all hope is possible, or we all know is possible in our hearts. And what Action Station are looking to do this election year is bring people together to have one of the largest conversations about where we want our country to be in 2040, which will be 200 years from when the Treaty of Waitangi was signed. Our goal is to have 170,000 people take part in this conversation, which is equal to 5% of the voting population, or enough to have a seat in Parliament. And so we're really trying to get political teeth there. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to empower members of our community to have conversations with one another online using new technologies. We're going to be hosting town meetings much like this all around the country. And we're also going to be encouraging people to have dinners, food for thought, talk to one another over kai, because one of the big problems is that we don't, in the age of social media and kind of the rise of echo chambers, we are just talking to ourselves, and we need to get beyond that and talk to one another so that we don't have a situation where we go, I don't know anyone who voted for Trump. And so we're going to bring people together over kai to talk about where we want to be in 2040. We'll then present this vision that we co-create through those different ways to the political parties in August and say, how does your vision stack up against the people's vision? And then in September, we'll be encouraging people to get out and vote for the political party that is most in line with our 2040 vision. And our goal is to use the election year as an excuse to talk about where we're going in the kind of more long term. And I hope to have you all involved in that if you wish to be. Action Station is still pretty new. We're 3 years old. Our ambition is much bigger than our capacity. My dream is, like, what does it look like if we have 250,000 New Zealanders working together in strategic, coordinated, powerful ways to take action for the fairer, more flourishing Aotearoa? What would you do if you had 250,000 people behind you? And hopefully we can create a world that's a bit more like this. So thank you.
Thank you, Laura. It was great to see so many hands go up of people who already know about Action Station, and I really like that idea of the high ceiling, and I know how empowering it feels to me when I'm able to make a change. So thank you.